Good morning.
Good morning.
I said good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. Occasionally, all of us have to visit places that are necessary in the process of living. I'm speaking of a barbershop. And that might be astonishing to you looking at me that I have to go to a barbershop, but I do have to go to those kind of places occasionally. And the most recent time was just before I went over to Germany for a few days. And as I'm sitting there, and thank God these places provide magazines and things like that for you to pick up and look at. Rather, and I picked up a Good Housekeeping magazine. Good Housekeeping. And I started scanning this magazine, and I got to about page 30. In this magazine, and I saw something that really caught my attention. And I asked the owner if I could cut it out of the lady, not what did I say? Good Housekeeping. If I could cut it out. And there was an article, this is it. And it's called Healing Hymns. And I want to read just a little bit about this, because this is scientific. This is so special because we're in the most important season of the whole year, this season of Christmas. It's like the end of the year that we look forward to, and we celebrate the birth of a baby 2012 years ago by the name of Jesus. And here, listen to this. This, it says, for a holiday season boost. Open your hymnal. In interviews with 65 North Carolinians. That was another reason I liked this article. 65 North Carolinians who had experienced other difficult times. Those express their faith through song. This is hard to read. It's gotten kind of bad here. But said they felt strengthened more when peace. And they were better able to endure stressful situations as they sang or as they listened to the classical hymns. And they refer to Amazing Grace and Blessed Assurance, and all those things. And this doctor down at the University of North Carolina who interviewed these 65 people found that just listening to hymns helps relieve stress, helps to comfort the heart. Isn't it amazing that everything about God is designed for our benefit? Everything he does, everything he speaks to us is to heal us emotionally and spiritually and physically. I believe it has, you can come read that if you wish, but don't take it because I want to keep it. I'll use it next year if I'm in a different church on this Sunday. But I'm going to tell you this now, there, God always has a way to lift people up. Now, we're in a very stressful weekend. It's horrible to think about what happened on Friday. When I got the first news, it just triggered such unbelievable despair and just a feeling of what's going on in this country. And do you know what? I've had a lot of thoughts about it. I've been praying for the families of those 20 children, 6 and 7 year old children. It's just, it's unthinkable, isn't it? It's beyond comprehension. It's beyond any, no one can fathom how deep and deadly and horrible this experience was. It was almost like a miniature 9/11. It was. And you know what? I wished somebody had won that man to Jesus. I wish somebody. Now, I know all the conversation that is going about. You know, I hear them all. I hear what they are doing. I hear the approaches they're taking. But I am convinced that the facts are that only God can relieve the pain of a human heart and a human conscience. Only the Holy Spirit can do that to heal these hurts. And I pray that man sealed his own fate, of course. We know where he is. There's no question about it. He sealed his own fate. But I wish so much. The only hope for America right now is not politics. It's not entertainment. It's not getting more money. It's not any of that. It's coming to God. And I pray with all my heart that this thing will trigger a spiritual transformation for this country. A great revival could break out and just bring people to their senses. Because I'm going to tell you, laws that we made have not been good. And we've got to get back to the book. We've got to get back to the Ten Commandments. We've got to get back to respect for life. And we can only get that appreciation from life to the giver and the author of life for everyone. And that is our God, who is eternal. Honey, come here a minute. I want you to do something with me. I'd rather you do it by yourself, though. Just because of the nature of this thing. You know me, don't you? Yeah, you do know me. Honey, I want to sing some kind of song. And I just want to sing a hymn for just a second. And I just want you to kind of lead us. It may be totally new. Maybe only two or three people here will remember this one. Because you look at us. You can tell that we're antiques already, you know. Oh, excuse me.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, honey, okay.
I'm not going to claim that one. Good morning, everyone. It's a delight to be back here at Embassy Church and be with our family again. Some of you, you're meeting us perhaps for the very first time. We're meeting you for the first time, and we're happy to be here. We pastored this church for a few years back when we were in our missions career and got an invitation to come here. So we have some roots here, too, along with you. God is amazing. He is so faithful. And everything that Jess has shared this morning, our hearts are heavy, and yet we look to God. To whom else can we go? We were coming down in the car today, and I was kind of weepy because of what's happened. And then I was just thanking God for his faithfulness and his love for humanity and how he sent his son. We didn't deserve that kind of love. None of us do. He didn't do it because we deserved it. He came because he loved us. And we're all going to heaven. If we follow him and live for him, we'll go to heaven. And I'm looking forward to that day. And I've shared with you before, we've met people all over the world. Some of them we'll never see again in so many different countries. And yet, when we get to heaven, we can look at them and praise God with them because they've come to know Jesus. And that's the most important thing, dear ones, that we know Jesus personally. And an old song was in my heart, and I was singing, coming down, it's Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Do you know that? Right in my heart, every word. How many know that song? Do you know that? Yeah, a few of you do. It goes like this. Tell me the story, sing it with me, of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me if the story most precious, sweetest that's ever been heard. And then I go to the second verse. Tell how the angels in glory sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and us. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me this story so precious, sweetest that ever was heard. And it is the sweetest story that you can ever have told to anyone, from the tiniest child to the oldest individual. God has his love. He wants to bestow his love on every one of us. Let him just show his love to you today and receive his love. He loves you so much. Thank you.
Okay. I was just thinking, I think it was 60 years ago, when I was almost 19 years old, I walked into this church for the first time. And I remembered just now, a few weeks before I came here, I was in my senior year of high school, and in North Carolina. And I put it together just now for the first time in all those years. When I was on the school grounds where I was going to graduate from, I saw a group of people in a crowd, and I walked up to the crowd to see what was going on out of just curiosity. And when I walked up, a guy by the name of Grady Godwin, it's unbelievable, I can never forget that name. When I stuck my face into the crowd with his strong fist, he hit me right in the face and knocked me to the ground. Just like that. I didn't even know what I had done to him. But I went home, and I got my dad's 12-gauge gun. I was a sinner. And my dad said, What are you doing? I got to go take care of something. And my dad grabbed the gun out of my hands, prevented me from doing something horrible. Do you know what? For God's glory, I thank God for the day I walked into this church and got saved. He gave my life to Jesus and made me a new heart, gave me a new spirit, a new attitude, a love that I never had before. And it's all about Jesus. And that's why I feel that we have to get serious about sharing our faith. Because there are all kinds of agitations that could come, honey. Along the line, a life journey of the way people are living. It's a painful world that we're living in. And we've got to get busy about the Master's service in the name of Jesus. Thank God for local churches who have doors that are open and they're ready to minister to the hurting and the needy. Hallelujah. That's what we're all about today. So God bless you. Thank you, honey. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Kay and I we did our own Christmas card fully this year for, I think, the first time. And we have some here if you did not get one. It's got the manger scene on it, but it's a different manger scene than you normally see. It's not a baby in the manger. It's a crown of thorns and a manger with a crown of thorns in it. And on the right are his clothes that came off of his body, because it depicts the birth, the death, and the resurrection of our Savior. So it's got the whole story right on the face of this thing. And it's the story that we wrote about here is Don't Miss Jesus at Christmas. It's a good read, I must say. It's a good read. And it tells the story of a lady. And so I'm going to ask the crew up there at the sound system to go ahead and let's get busy here and do what we've got to do today, okay? And if you'll go to the first slide on that thing, if you would, please. There, just leave that, and I'll tell you when to go. I want to read you some scriptures. Is that all right? Okay, listen to it. You said yes. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiance, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. What a considerate guy he was. He really was. He was so thoughtful. And as he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And here's what he said. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus. Why? Here's the bottom line. For he will save his people from their sins. That's one story. By the way, there's another text that I want to use here. Can we throw up the slide? I believe this is the one right here. I just took that picture this week. It's somebody's front license plate. Okay? That's my text. That's what I want to focus on this morning. Can you say it out loud? That, in my opinion, is one of the most reassuring passages in the whole entire Bible. Right there. I believe I have that privilege of saying that. To me, it's just a few words. With God, all things. Incidentally, this is the front license plate of our third child, Cheryl, who has battled cancer since she was 36 and she's now 51. Figure that out. When the doctor told her that she wouldn't live to see her sons graduate, she's still alive, by the way. She's got a fancy car with a fancy license plate on the front, declaring to the world, with God, all things are possible. Now, here's what I want to happen right now by the Spirit. I want you to hang your future on this passage. I want you right now to take this passage seriously. And let's hang our hats on it. Let's cling to it. Let's grab a hold of this promise in the Word and say, this is going to govern me the rest of my life, because I am going to know that with God, I just love that, with God, I love every word, things are possible. Matthew 19:26. Oh, it's in Luke 1:37 as well. With God, all things are possible. That one will stabilize your life. That will put everything in order that's out of order. That will put you together emotionally. That will put you together financially. That will put you together physically. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to cite for you experiences not only from myself, but for other people. And I just alluded to our daughter. I watch her every week. She works in our office. And I watch her when she comes in. A girl that's supposed to be dead a long time ago with this cancer. I watch her. I look at her face. I look in her eyes as her dad, as I sit there and dictate to her. And she writes and expresses my sentiments around the world. And I look at her and I think, God, this girl is alive. This girl clings to you. She clings to your word. She clings to truth. She clings to promises like this one. And she knows that with God, all things are possible. Now, I want that to really, I want you to get a hold of this morning. If I don't say too much profound, just forget it. All I'm asking you to do today is to get this limb and hang on. The journey may be rough. It may be more difficult than you think. You don't know what tomorrow brings or holds, but you will know who holds tomorrow, and you will know who is worthy, and it will guarantee to you success and victory, and you will overcome day by day. The resurrection assures me of that. The ascended Christ, the descent of the Holy Spirit, gives to you and to me the power to grasp and cling to these promises and say, God, all things are going to be okay. Do you know, I have a friend, and he's quite well known. I don't know him too well, but I've talked to him several times, and I have such respect for him. His name is Jim Cimbala. Brooklyn Tabernacle, have you ever heard of him? Have you ever heard his music? Put your hands up if you haven't heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle music. Go to the Christian bookstore and get as many of those CDs as you can, because this is awesome. And this guy has a church in downtown Brooklyn, right there by the bridge. He has a church that on Tuesday night, when they have their prayer meeting, it is so packed out that they can't get more people in. People are flocking in that place, and that's been going on for years. And lives, New Yorkers and people from everywhere are having their lives changed. Something took place, and it was announced recently by Jim Cimbala at the banquet that Ravi Zacharias was sponsoring. And Jim Cimbala told the story just recently. Their daughter went astray from God and got involved in everything. Lived wickedly for years and years. And to the pain of this couple, this Jim and his wife, what's her name again? Carol. Another Carol. Thank God for Carols, right? Amen. And Jim Cimbala was telling this story recently at this thing, and it just touched me so deeply when I heard it. Some time ago in one of those Tuesday night prayer meetings, just recently, in one of those Tuesday night prayer meetings, some person came over to a pastor and said, I think we ought to have corporate prayer for your daughter. I feel God wants it to happen. And he consented. Let's do it. If God's put it in your heart, let's do it. By the way, folks, don't miss an opportunity like that. Really. And they got serious, and they went to prayer. The next morning, after they prayed that night, the daughter walked back into the house. The next morning. And this is what has just come out. This is so fresh and so new that this daughter came in and said to her parents, who prayed for me? Who prayed for me? That night, after they prayed, she had a vision of hell. She saw where she was on her way to. This is a living reality, folks. This is what God can do. If we could just loosen ourselves up a little bit and begin to exercise faith and trust in a supreme creator of the universe, right? If we could just hang our hats on this and believe that God has everything under control. She saw where she was going, and she took care of it. She repented of her sins and now is back with the family. And it all happened as a result of prayer. Yeah, give me some, honey, if you would. That is this mine or yours? Oh, it doesn't matter to us, does it? Her diseases are mine, mine are hers, right? Folks, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. The reason I say that is you cannot stop God from being God. Amen. The world can't. The philosophers can't. The atheists can't. Nobody can. God is still God, and he's going to act
in his own interest, he's going to express himself to a hurting, cursed world. He is. This God is going to change situations. I don't know if you know this or not, probably not. But Kay and I have been going through, not together, but we've been experiencing something that's been very, very painful over the last few months. It's one that could almost knock you down. And it's been going on. And last Sunday, I was in North Germany. And I was invited to preach at a church I had never preached in. I didn't know the pastor. I had met him, and I shook his hand once for about 1 second. And I didn't know where I was going hardly. And I went there last Sunday, and they had a snowfall, 5 or 6 inches of snow. We arrived there, and the people were standing on the porch outside the church looking and waiting for people to come to see who would come through the snowstorm. Out of a church of 400, 200 showed up. And I had a chance to preach there last Sunday. And after we had the altar service, they have two pastors, by the way, that have the lead pastor who founded the church. All he does is preach and pray for the people. That's his life. Every day, that's his job. Preaching and praying, teaching and preaching and praying, teaching and preaching and praying. He doesn't have to be concerned about the money or the building or anything, the cost for the speaker or anything. And I met these two pastors. They are so much alike, they look alike. I thought they were brothers. I asked, are they brothers? No, you're just pastor and assistant pastor. I said, okay. And we were having prayer, and lo and behold, one of these, the assistant pastor, came over to a lady who was doing translating and asked, do you think Brother Jesse would be offended? I have something that God's put in my heart for him. Do you think Brother Jesse would be offended? Oh, no. He'll accept it. So he asked permission humbly. Isn't that amazing how the Holy Spirit is a gentleman? How the Holy Spirit has grace about it? How the Holy Spirit is not arrogant. This is my right, I'm God. You know? No. He said, I want to just express it. And he came over and just said a few words in German. And then they translated them for, here's what it says. Don't worry about your further relatives. God has heard your prayers, and his grace is efficient. That was it. That's all I needed to know. I don't need to know about anything else. I got God. He's working. Hallelujah. When you face some of life's most incredible circumstances, and the world today is filled with pain. I remember, Dave, do you remember when you were, Pastor Dave, do you remember when you were 12 years old and I was stricken with several diseases? Do you remember it? You do? Okay, I thought so. It was in April of 1974. It was in April. I was doing the youth director's job in Germany, in New Jersey. It tells you, I got a German brain and a New Jersey brain. I don't know where I am sometimes. And, I got one day I was doing some business things in the ministry, and all of a sudden I was stricken with pain in my body. And they took me to the hospital. I wound up 2.5 months in the hospital. And I wound up hearing my surgeon, and it was confirmed by 2 or 3 other medical institutions, Philadelphia, Temple, and Columbia Hospital in New York, that I was going to be paralyzed from the waist down. And I was going to have to live in a wheelchair the rest of my life. And it happened in April. In October, in about August, I got inspired. I said, I don't care. I'm going to go out and start preaching again. And a friend of mine made a place in his van, and he'd put me in his van, and he would drive me. And I remember I was driven to the other side of the state of New Jersey in such agony and pain that you cannot believe. I just said, God had given me a scripture about the lepers. As they went, they were cleansed. I got my idea okay, they were active. They started to get into motion. And as they went, as they began to make steps of faith, so I got in my mind, okay, I'm going to go back. I'm not going to stop preaching. I'm going to just keep on doing. And if I die doing it, so what? I'm going to do it. And so I came home on October the 12th, 1974. That happened in the beginning of April in 74. That's 38 years ago, I think. And when I came upstairs, I heard my son, 12 years old, praying. He was crying and he was yelling to God, God, when are you going to heal my dad? I woke up the next morning. I had my thing, you know, that I had gotten for me, a walker, you know, and I had it right by my bed. And so when I got up on the next morning, the 13th day of October in 1974, he was 12. And I got up and I put my feet on the ground and I said, my goodness, I started, and I got this walker. And I got up on my feet and I said, oh my goodness, I think I can walk without it. And I started walking without it. And I started walking. And I started walking. And I went down the stairs by myself, first time in 6 months. And then I walked all the way up the street, a block and a half. And then I walked back. And I said, I believe I've been healed. And so I had to go to the doctor and ask his, you know, view on this situation and see what he would have to say about it. And lo and behold, and when I went back to the doctor, I walked in without crutches, without any assistance. I just walked in, and I told him what had happened to me. And I thanked him for being my doctor, and I thanked him for his service, and I have not seen him since. That was 19, what year was it, 74? Now, you figure that out, 74, 26, and 12. That's about, goodness, that's about 36, 38 years ago that happened. Look, I'm not paralyzed. You know what? With God, all things are possible. I love that phrase. I adore that license plate. I adore that little statement that was taken out of Luke, the physician's words. Put your faith in God. It'll never fail you. It'll never fail you. I'm telling you now, life in faith with God is a life of victory. It's a life that is unbelievable. Isn't it awesome? Let's go to the next slide. But I may bring you back there. Can you go to the next one? I just want to see what. This is a lady. That's interesting, isn't it? That's Rachel. Rachel is an amazing lady. Rachel is, here's her story. I got this myself. In June of this last year, I got a call from this lady. Because one of our ladies that we had gotten into the Brooklyn Teen Challenge Center had moved back home and was in the church where our daughter Debbie and Matt attend. And this Teen Challenge graduate gave her testimony, and the grandmother to this lady was there in the service. And while she was listening to this testimony, she thought, oh, maybe Rachel could get into that place. Her granddaughter. Do you know what? I love it when people's interest is turned toward God. I love it when the Holy Spirit puts something together that puts a thought in someone's mind that perhaps you don't have to live the way you are the rest of your life. You don't. That there may be a God. That I didn't say that with any question in my mind, but there is a God. And here's what she says. My name is Rachel, and I put it up there for your benefit. I'm 22 years old, and I'm from Seattle, Washington, and I was raised in a Christian home by my two loving grandparents. Two loving grandparents, that means a father and a mother, right? And so on. My mom is an addict and was unable to take care of me and my three siblings, four kids. mother addict. As a kid, I excelled in academics, music, and sports, and was never going to do drugs, never. However, by my senior year of high school, I was addicted to Oxycontin by my senior year. Addicted. Do you know what Oxycontin is? It's a legal drug. And folks, it's killing people by the thousands. When I was 19, my mom convinced me to smoke meth. And at her house for the next several months, and severely, mentally, emotionally, and verbally abused me, this girl. I finally decided to leave despite the threat she made, and shortly after became addicted to heroin. I overdosed on heroin 4 times and came extremely close to death each time. In March of 2012, my dad, Grandpa, who raised me, was killed in a car accident. After that, I didn't want to live anymore, Rachel thought to herself. 3 months after his death, my grandma went to church and heard the testimony of a girl who had completed the Brooklyn Teen Challenge Center. I brought her all the way across the country to Brooklyn. She got me in contact with Jesse Owens, who got me to New York 4 days later. That was last June, this year. Today, listen to this now. Today, this is where, with God, say it. Oh, folks, I don't know if that's getting in or not. I should have had a much heartier response. With God? Yeah, I think you're getting it now. You're getting it. All things. Put that in whatever framework you want in your own life and your own circumstances. Is it a marriage? Is it a work problem? Is it a child problem? What is it? Whatever it is, with God, all things are. Dear Jesus, I'm having a good time today. Oh, hallelujah. Here's the reason why. Today, I am a completely different person. I have a fire within me to serve the Lord, and I'm free from addiction. In the future, I believe I'll have my own music ministry and do missionary work. I am so grateful for the freedom Christ has given me. The verse that I stand on is 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as I am fully known. That girl, look at all that little dots there. You know what? It's very possible that she took so much heroin that she wanted to end her life. These kids don't need to end their lives. They don't need to go this route. They don't need to go to murder and to interrupt and destroy. We've got to get this gospel out. Hear me today, ladies and gentlemen. Hear me. I want you to believe God for a radical, radical growth of this church and for God's kingdom to be expanded, amen, in this city, and that God will shake Washington, D.C. to its core so that it can be turned upside down, so it can get upright and walk in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Excuse me for getting so excited, but I can't help it. I'm not. Thank God for Jeanette. I have too many experiences in my life that indicate to me that it's the way it is if you put your trust in God. With God, all things are possible. Is there another slide, by the way? Huh? No? I don't remember. Is there another one?
That's it? I got to finish now? Okay. Oh, my Jesus. What is it that's bothering you today? What is it that you're going through? What is it that's weighing you down? What is it that's got taken the fire out of your stomach? What is it? Whatever it is, commit it to God today. If it's things that you need to repent of, we can take care of that right now. We can pray with you. We can extend a hand to you and say, you know what? God can forgive you. I love saying that to people. I just love to say that to people, that God will forgive you. He'll make sure that everything is forgiven and forgotten. It'll go out of his memory. He won't throw it in your face again. Someone else might, but God won't. When you genuinely repent, hallelujah. I remember last Saturday, not yesterday, the one before. I was in Germany, and this was firsthand. This just happened 8 days ago. We had a luncheon. I wanted to celebrate in a luncheon with the workers that we worked together in Germany to advance the cause of Christ. We had about 24, 25 people there for this luncheon. And one of them was the director of tourism in a village called Bopard, Germany, along the Rhine. And as a result of walking into the Bopard tourist office in 2011 on July 4th, I walked in there because the day before, Kay, I'd said goodbye to her to come home, and I had to stay a few more days to do some more things over there, and I said goodbye to Kay. And on the 4th, I woke up that morning so lonely. I just missed her. I just missed being. I wanted to celebrate America and get an American flag and walk up and down the village streets and just wave the American flag. I love my country. I do, and I just wanted to do that. I walked into the tourist office, and when I walked in, a lady got up from her chair and came over to me and said, "May I help you, sir?" And it was in German, and I said, "Ja, bitte," in German. And so I told her that I wanted to come to Bopard and open a new church. And right away, she started to think positively. I didn't know what she was going to do. And she said to me, I told her I had some musicians. I told her I was going to come and spend some days there. She said, "I tell you what, what are the dates?" And I told her July, June 27th or so to July 8th. Going to be there about 10 days. And I said, "I'm going to have all these musicians." She said, "Why don't you go to the open-air theater? I'll give it to you for 10 days. So I said, "Great, do it." So we had she opened her heart. And do you know that we could have been closed down if it wasn't for that lady, but she came to our rescue and talked to some people who wanted to shut us down because of the sound. Because I like music loud, don't you? I like it to reverberate across the hills and across the river and so on. But we toned it down some, and I began to witness to that lady. And do you know, last Saturday, we invited her. By the way, one of the workers of Global Renewal over there has been witnessing to her all during this time. And this lady came, and we were getting ready to break up, and we were going to go. And I walked up to say goodbye to her. Her name is Petra Winkler. W-I-N, Winkler. And I said, "Petra, what's wrong?" She said, "I don't know. I said, "What do you need? Do you want to give your life to Jesus?" That's what I said. And she said, "Yeah, that's what I want." I said, "Give me your hand." And I took her by the hand, and we prayed, and she prayed and asked Jesus to come into her heart. And I looked at her face, and when I stopped praying, and she stopped praying, she said, "Wow." She said, "Oh, what a relief it is." I mean, that was what was on her face. The relief, the peace that came over her face. I love that. That's what people need. They need to be forgiven.
They need to be forgiven. Vera, you and your husband lived your lives for Jesus. And we are getting up in years together. You're still a little behind Kay and I think. How old are you now, by the way? And so anyway, we know this, that the greatest joy in this life is to pray and ask God for forgiveness and get it rectified. Get it rectified. Petra is going to have the best Christmas ever. She's going to have her first Christmas. I'm serious. It's just a form without the... It's just a form. But when you have the one who was born of Mary, don't you like the way Joseph put it? He talked about the man. Luke talked about the woman in his gospel, Mary. But God put the whole story together, and the whole world today is thinking about Christmas, Jesus' birthday. Yours could be today too, if you'll let Jesus change your heart. Jesus, thank you for Embassy Church. Thank you for every person here. Thank you for the miracles that are going to occur in every life. Because today, God, they have got something to hang on to for the rest of their lives. They are going to hang on to this scripture. Thank you for going back to it. With God. God. Hallelujah. That is the most positive expression of faith that we need. God, you are available to us. You are the center of the universe. You are the creator. You made us in your own image. Now, God, change us today in Jesus' name. Keep your heads bowed just for a moment. I want to just look at people. You just keep your eyes closed and bowed. Let me just look at you. How many would say, Brother Jesse, would you pray for me? Just put your hand up. I need forgiveness. I need peace in my heart, Brother Jesse. I want God to forgive me. I see it. Look at that. Goodness gracious. There. I want God to come and cleanse me, Brother Jesse. Anyone else? Just put it up. Just put it up. Just put it up. Just put it up. God, over there, over here, God. Oh, God, I've got a place to hang my hat today, God. I've got, Lord, the lifeline has been thrown out today, God. And I cling to it with God. All things are merklish, possible, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, I bless you. Right now, for these people that have raised their hands, let's pray this prayer. Every one of us. Jesus, I love you. And I thank you for salvation. I thank you for the fact that you can forgive. And forgive me, Jesus. I accept you in fullness. Come into my life. Take charge of my destiny. In the name of Jesus, you have my life, Lord. Glory to God. I'm yours this Christmas. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. How many of you now just have extenuating circumstances, like maybe marital problems, maybe business problems, maybe circumstances that are out of control in your world? How many of you would say, Brother Jesse, man, I need somebody to pray for me? Look at that. Look at that. Oh, my goodness. Everyone. You know what? Everybody here stand. And everybody here, find somebody to pray for right quickly. Come on. Let's do this. Everybody here, stand and come and pray.